The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 70, Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. That's a mouthful. Or is this issue number 70, Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey? Either way, we pretty much talk spoiler-free for the entire podcast, and we explain why. But we talk about the movie, we actually work in the latest Black Label book, which I talked about last week, which was pretty good. Actually, really good. And we talk about DC Universe show, the animated series Harley Quinn, too, and compare them and which way they maybe could have gone, should have gone, which one's better than the other. All fun, all good, and in honor of Harley Quinn, let's head into the storm, mother... Hey, John, it's February, it's cold outside, at least here. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Still getting over this sickness.
I noticed you're still sick, so it must have really got a hold of you. It's been 3 days since we last were on the air.
Well, it's actually been a few weeks. It just really exploded this past week. Luckily for me, like, I was laid up in bed. I was, like, really bad off. And Jen's like, well, at least the weather's cooperating because it was crappy out, so I couldn't work anyway. So it's not like I was losing time.
Yeah, it sucks to be sick on a day when you could be working.
Exactly. So it kind of worked out. But, you know, I didn't care how sick I was. I was doing this. I'll make my way through.
There you go.
But, yeah, so, hey, I took a look at those covers.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. Usually, like, the last couple weeks or a few weeks ago, we had a couple of weeks where they were completely different covers. And I think these covers are very similar. They both almost have that purple theme.
The Catwoman. Well, yeah, other than the color, I don't know.
No, yeah.
Where they are. But yeah, well, I'm a big Jason Campbell fan anyway. Yeah. So I like his artwork. So most of his covers I like anyways. But they're almost always Marvel. It's very rare that he's doing DC.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when I see him do a DC cover, like this one, like I said, it usually stands out for me and I liked it. And then like the Wonder Woman, this guy, Ian McDonald, this is like his second cover. He's a newer artist.
Oh, you mean the Catwoman one?
Yeah. At least as far as I know, he's a newer artist because I wasn't familiar with him, but I really like his work because those last two Catwoman issues that he's done were really, really nice. So
the cat looks great.
Yeah.
In that cover. I mean, she looks great too. Her face, the detail, and like how, like, it looks really nice. I love the background, the highlight, like the neon look.
Right.
But that cat with the eyes, green eyes and everything, it looks great.
It's good, yeah.
And she has the same eyes.
Like I said, they're both really good.
Yeah. Yeah, those are great covers.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Yeah, can't go wrong.
Anything else big in the news?
Well, no, I mean, I know you have some stories to talk about, so I don't have anything specifically to bring up.
Okay, yes. Here I have one from Twitter. Breaking news from Comic Book Resources.
Okay.
Most of the negative reviews for Birds of Prey are from men.
Go figure.
Water is wet.
Yeah.
It's a comic book movie. Most of the reviews are from men, good or bad. It's
like, yes.
You could say that about every comic book movie. Most of the reviews
are from men,
regardless of what the review is. It's most of them are from men. That's not breaking news. That's not even a report. That's
right. It's ridiculous. Not even news. Yeah. It's just, well, like you said, it's clickbait.
But is it? I scrolled by it and I screen grabbed it so I could say
it. Well, it wasn't clickbait for me because I didn't read the story either.
I didn't either. I didn't even want, but I'm like, what could be in that story that's going to break?
That I need to know.
Most of the reviews are did you know most of the baseball players in MLB that fail are male?
Right.
Well, yeah. But it was awful. It's like so stupid. Yeah, it's trying to say like, oh, men don't like. Yeah, but most of the good reviews of Birds of Prey are men too.
Men as well. Yeah. Which honestly, the reviews have been overwhelmingly positive for the movie. So I don't even know why that's a story anyways. You know, it's Rotten Tomato score, which, you know, we've talked about before, and you can put whatever value in that if you want to. But it's still been very positive. Like, the scores are actually pretty high. So I don't know why they're even talking about the negative reviews. So,
well, because people like to think that men don't like
strong women. Yeah.
Or comic book women in comics. And it's like, no, that couldn't be further from the truth.
Well, I was just saying, that's really the complete opposite. But
yeah, whatever. You want to get into it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I don't know if this is going to be news or just part of our conversation about the movie. But I mean, honestly, you know, most of the headlines the last few days have swirled around this movie, the various reasons why it may or may not have performed well at the box office. You know, obviously it's underperformed to expectations.
Right.
I think they were hoping it was going to do Shazam numbers, which were around $50 million for its opening weekend. And this came in at just under $33 million or so. You know, again, a lot of speculation on why it didn't do what they thought it was going to do. So I don't have the answer for that.
We'll try to figure it out as we plod through this.
But, you know, obviously one of the major things that came out of that was a change to the title of the movie.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Yep.
I don't know that this has anything to do with the way the movie performed at the box office. I really can't imagine what the title would have to do with it. I don't disagree that the title was ridiculous and probably shouldn't have ever been the title in the first place, because it was way too convoluted of a title for a movie. Anytime you have to have like a byline, you know, to fit the whole title.
Well, I think they were doing that as a joke, obviously. Right. And the over the top nature that is Harley Quinn.
Right.
So I think they were trying to play with that a little bit.
But I don't think that played into its performance. And I don't think changing the title now is going to do anything to bolster its performance at the box office.
No.
But I do think this, you know, again, it has been getting, and we haven't even got into what we each individually think of the movie, but I mean, it has gotten overwhelmingly positive reviews, so I think it might pick up some steam from word of mouth, you know, as it goes on, but I don't know that it's going to get to where they were hoping it was going to get to.
No.
So I guess the question is, were they over-projecting it? Because I don't think this movie is going to lose money. You know, the budget on this wasn't super high. Like, this wasn't an Endgame type of budget for the movie. So it doesn't have to do $300 million to make money. But
no, I thought they said it had to do like $200, though, to break even or something. That
seems even high, though.
I've been seeing a lot more on this one than others about, like, how they have to triple what, you know, to break even, you have to triple what the budget was and blah, 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 which I don't know. But anyways, yeah, they had to do like, it was like 200 or something to break even.
I mean, I think it gets there eventually.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I don't think in the long run it'll end up losing money. But I think it was probably over-projected. Like, I don't think this was ever going to do Shazam money. You know, they're so completely different types of movies. You know, Shazam is an all-ages family movie, rated PG, maybe PG-13, I don't remember. But, you know, you're definitely going to take your kids to go see that. This is an R-rated movie that you're not going to take your kids to go see. And it was never going to do like Deadpool or Joker money, you know, even though those were R-rated movies too.
Right.
So I think they probably over-projected a little bit for this movie. And I think a lot of it is, I think it has like the Solo effect. Like, I think it suffers, like it's got a little bit of Suicide Squad hangover. You know, like people feel like they were burned a little bit by the Suicide Squad. And this is too, it's not different enough from Suicide Squad for people to realize that it's a different movie.
Right.
I think that hurt it more than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, I guess to quit burying the lead a little bit. And again, we haven't spoken, but I liked it.
I was going to say, let's play the trailer and then we'll just get into this thing.
Okay.
Because I think there's a lot. I mean, aside from talking about the movie, there is a lot to get into.
There's some
good stuff here. So let's play this trailer and then, you know, we'll try our best to promote the movie. Okay. So see what we can do.
Can I help you?
Why, yes, you can. I'm here to report a terrible crime.
And what terrible crime is that?
This one. Ah, I told this all wrong. Quick history lesson.
It's oh so quiet.
Now that I cut ties with Mr. J, I'm about to learn that a lot of people want me dead.
All alone.
And at the top of that list is this guy.
And so peaceful.
But it turns out that wasn't the only dame in Gotham looking for emancipation.
You fall in love.
He's after all of us. We can't just rob him. You betrayed him. You'd kill these BFFs.
What?
You are so cool.
You never.
And you're dumb enough to be building a case against him. So, unless we all want to die, very unpleasant death, we're gonna have to work together. Are we ready?
You blow up, you devil cut loose. When you fall in love.
Oh shit, is that a hyena in a bathtub?
I named him Bruce after that hunky Wayne guy.
Alright, that was the trailer for Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of the One Harley Quinn. Right. I was looking for the trailer for the new movie, Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey.
Harley Quinn, colon, Birds of Prey.
Exactly.
Actually.
So they still had to put the colon in there.
Right.
I'll tell you up front, I saw this twice.
Okay.
I had to. When I saw Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, I fell asleep.
Okay.
But then when I went back and I saw Harley Quinn Birds of Prey, I was awake the whole time and I really enjoyed the movie.
So had it already changed title when you saw it? When did you see it the second time?
Yeah, it had changed. It changed that day. I think on the way home I heard it. I heard people talking about it.
I didn't hear that for a couple of days, actually. I didn't.
Well, I saw it opening night. Jen and I saw it as like a date night.
Yeah.
And at 6 o'clock, and it was just hitting me.
Right.
And I sat there and she's like, how much did you sleep? And I go, I don't know. I'll tell you when I see the movie again.
Right.
Because she goes, I never see you sit that way. I was like all hunched over and sideways. And that's not a reflection on the movie because I don't think this is a movie you really can sleep through.
No, it's I didn't hear that they were changing the title until Monday, until the weekend was over.
Right, and then that's when I saw it again Monday.
That's why I was wondering when you saw it again. Okay.
Yeah, I saw it again Monday. It was, you know, a bad weather day. I was sick anyways. I took myself with an energy drink to the movies.
Right.
And I saw it, and I really enjoyed it. But that was funny. I was like, oh, it's a new name. That's why I enjoyed it. So the name change worked for me.
It worked for you, personally. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got your money twice, and you only saw it once. So they're ahead.
I mean, I liked it, like you. Like you said earlier, I liked the movie. I found that it had little substance, though.
It was. Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean?
It wasn't super deep.
No, this movie but that's Harley Quinn.
But I was supposed to say, this movie is what it should have been. Like, I don't know what you're expecting.
Exactly.
If you didn't get what you wanted, I don't know what you wanted, because this was just what a Harley Quinn comic book is. It's over the top. It's violent. It's language. Now, you don't get the language in the comics as much necessarily because they try to be, you know, all ages. But, you know, you have the Harley Quinn show on DC Universe, which is very adult-oriented. That's what this is. It's just a fun time. It's like a Fast and the Furious movie. You're not going to see it because the story is super deep and, you know, you can't wait to get to the end of it. It's a lot of crashes. It's a lot of loud noises. And
yeah.
There's some stuff in there. I mean, there is a little bit of substance there, but like you said, it's not the deepest story, you know?
No, no. And what I thought was funny is, and just talking right now, do you want to even do spoilers? Because we could talk about this entire podcast without doing any spoilers, or we'll do them at, I mean, if you want, we'll lock the door and we'll do spoilers, but there's not.
You know me. I don't ever want to talk spoiler free. So
I know that. Yeah. But I'm trying to think of something that would really be important that you're going to ruin. There's nothing in this movie that you can ruin.
No, I'm not going to go out of my way to spoil something.
No.
Just a normal conversation. Yeah, I was like, what was the last thing we talked about that was kind of similar? Oh, The Witcher. When you were saying that you could talk all the way through it and still not really spoil anything.
Right, because you're going to have a hard enough time figuring it out. That's a different reason.
Right. Well, but yeah, there's lots of things we could say without getting too deep into the story. I mean, because all the characters, you know, there's a lot of characters in this movie. I thought they did a good job with, well, I thought they did a good job with most of the characters. I feel like Huntress was a little bit underserved in this movie. I just don't think she got the attention that, that the other ones did. And
well,
I think
because it was more of a comedy.
Right. Well,
and
maybe.
They actually used her more. They delivered her more comedically than you would normally deliver Huntress.
Well, yes, because Huntress isn't, she's not a character that's prone to comedy. But,
right.
But yeah, I think she, you know, she doesn't show up real, I mean, she shows up through the whole movie, but she doesn't really show up in any kind of meaningful way till pretty close to the end of the movie. And I thought the Cassandra Cain character could have been any other character. Like,
oh yeah,
she didn't have to be Cassie Cain, and I almost wish she wasn't, because the Cassandra Cain character in the comics is pretty different than what we got in this movie. It wasn't crucial that she be Cassandra Cain for this movie,
right.
So she could have just been anybody. And I think that is my only little bit of criticism on it.
Well, I wonder if they're just setting a foundation in there, or their intent was to set a foundation and develop these characters, because this movie really wasn't about the Birds of Prey.
No, but I feel like knowing who Cassandra Cain, like in the comics, she was Batgirl for a while, and then she is now Spoiler in like the Detective Comics. And I don't see this little girl from this movie turning into either one of those characters. Like, there's no path that I can see her going through that's going to evolve her into Batgirl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just don't see any way that
happens. She's supposed to be a young girl in this. Yes, so she's supposed to have some more of a future than, you know, projected than the rest.
But like I said, I just don't think the character arc of right. her in this movie. That's
it's
why
not
I
believable
think,
that she could become Batgirl.
Right. That's why I think she could have just been anybody else.
Right.
She wasn't a bad character. Like, nope. You know, the actress was fine, and, like, everything that happened was fine. I just don't think she had to be Cassie Cain. I really liked, you know, Black Canary. I think as far as the other, you know, secondary characters, she really had the most meat through the rest of the story. And then Renee Montoya, you know, I liked her character arc as well. So I think they did a good job with all of them. And then Ewan McGregor kind of steals the show. You know, I think it was really,
I mean, I thought
good.
The movie was, it was typical Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
It was over the top in like every aspect. I thought the acting was over the top intentionally,
right.
Like overacting. And like you said, Ewan McGregor pretty much overacted the whole thing on purpose.
Right.
I mean, that was the intent, and it was great. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah,
he was great. That I don't even know who he was.
I don't know the actor, but yeah, Zaz was
Chris Messina.
Okay,
so
yeah, I don't recognize him from anything else. So I don't know.
Thought he was great.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen him, but yeah, I thought he was great, and I thought their relationship was great. I know that's another criticism. A lot of people don't like the way they were portrayed. You know, it was intimated that they were a couple. And a lot of people don't like that. I didn't have any problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it because they projected it that way, but it doesn't mean it's that way. They could have just been both like flamboyant.
Right. You don't,
they're
you don't
overacting
know.
The entire thing. I felt like even when I came out of the movie with my wife, I was like, there was a lot of Batman 66 here.
Yes.
I felt like over the top. The only thing that was missing was the pows and the plam, you know, bams on the screen, you know?
Right.
And it was fun. That was
replaced with the F-bombs and, you know.
Yeah. And so it's funny you say that because that was one of the things I wanted to get to regarding like when I talked about the Harley Quinn book last week. And that book, it's almost like, I think one of the criticisms I'll say about this movie was they either should have gone as far as the book went with their, you know, graphic,
mm-hmm.
you know, just being a little bit more adult.
Right.
Or go back to PG-13. Because if you think about this movie had an R rating.
Right.
But why? there, you could have taken out a few of the little, I mean, what was the language for? Like, so you had some F-bombs. If you take those out and you back off the little bit of violence that you had,
say,
the graphic
violence.
I think
it was more the violence than the language.
Right. But you could have, now, and I'm not saying that I didn't enjoy the movie. I'm saying right. that for the people that are criticizing, like, the box office number, they could have and if it's like, I'm talking in-house people, if they're like, oh, we should have done better. I feel like for a rated R, they should have gone a little further.
Should have leaned a little hard, like Deadpool, and leaned a little harder into it.
Yeah, you know? Gone a little bit more graphic, a little bit more, you know, gone a little bit more adult with the innuendos and the, you know, whatever. Then it would have been a little bit more, you know, popular, especially with the men.
Right.
Which, let's be honest, the men are the ones that are going to comic book movies. I know this movie was, it really kind of was for women.
It was. I mean, it was a strong female presence.
Yeah. You know, and my wife liked it.
Again, all the main characters were, obviously, they were all female. Birds of Prey, we know that they're all women.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife liked it too. She didn't love it. Like, it wasn't her favorite. But
she's
liked
like,
it.
I don't know if I'll see it again. But
right.
It was good.
Right, yeah.
You know? I'll watch it again. I'll probably buy it.
I'll buy it and watch it again.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. It's great action sequences.
Yes.
But back to my point is that I feel like their R rating was like borderline R rate. It was like in that middle there.
Right.
I mean, yeah, she breaks that guy's legs. That's graphic. There was some good graphic violence with, you know, bats and stuff to the head.
Right.
But if you back off that a little bit and go like a Venom did, it's like you get that PG-13, which gets you more audience members.
Right.
It probably makes you a little more money.
It would
have
made them a little bit more money, I think, if this was PG-13. Because, like I said, then you're more inclined to take the younger kids to go see it.
Right. But at the same time, if they've gone to a harder R, they might have created more of a buzz.
Right. I was going to say,
More money.
The only thing with that is you would have to see it to know that. So I don't know if that would have helped the opening weekend so much, but maybe the word of mouth would have boosted it a little bit more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you came out of that movie, it was like, oh my God, but if that was like the book that we, from last week.
Right.
And I'm not, that book wasn't crazy. We're not going over the top here, but a little bit more like that book, maybe it creates more of a buzz and you know what I mean? So they're almost like in the middle, and that's kind of where, that's where the money is.
Right.
The money that they're making is that mediocre money.
Right.
And it's, and I do agree with you that they will make the money eventually, because like you said, you said it last week, if it wasn't for this podcast, I don't know if we would have seen it this quickly. I was in no hurry to go see this.
I wasn't either. I always wanted to see it, but this
I
is one.
I did too, yeah.
This is one that I definitely could have waited to buy the 4K disc and watched at home. And it would have been just as good. There was nothing in it that I would have been super wary to hear spoilers on. Again, there's no like Endgame or Rise of Skywalker spoiler that I had to avoid, you know.
Right.
I could have actually even had conversations in my shop with 100 people and still gone to see the movie and been just fine. You
right.
know, I don't think even seeing it now, there's really, like you said a minute ago, there's nothing in it that's super spoilery that I would have been like, oh my God, I had to see that.
Right. So don't tell him about the time she hits a guy over the head with a bat. Right. Oh wait, that's every Harley Quinn.
But
thing.
The only problem is to kind of, this actually not contradicts what we were talking about the other day as far as like whether it was going to kill cinema or like even you and I, when we, just saying we could have waited and not seen this in the theater. The only problem with that argument is we want them to keep making these movies. And if we want them to keep making these movies, then we have to go support them in the theater. Because the problem is now is that like Margot Robbie wants to do another one of these. She wants to bring Poison Ivy in. And I don't know that she gets to do another one because this isn't going to make the money. So I think that if we want to continue to see these, we actually have a little bit of a responsibility to go and see them in the theater. Like the next one up is Bloodshot. And I know you're fairly excited about that. I'm not.
Yes.
Like, again, if we didn't have to talk about this on a podcast, I wouldn't go see it.
Right.
But now that I'm thinking about what I just said, I need to go see it regardless, because even if I may not be a fan of the property, I want them to keep making these movies. So I owe it to them to give them my $20 to go see it because otherwise,
right, that's your
they, vote. Otherwise they stop making them. So,
and that's why I voted twice.
Right. Well, I might vote again too, but I don't know if that's going to help it too much in the long run. We need a bunch of people to vote for the first time.
Right.
More than us voting
twice. No, but I do think that, like you said, I think not a lot of people were in a rush to go see this. So maybe it'll get, you know, maybe it's a good date night for Valentine's Day. Well, that would have been Friday. So when this podcast airs.
But yeah,
so
but
maybe
it might
we'll
have,
know.
The it might have might some, be different. Might have some legs going forward for a few weeks. You know, some of the other ones, you know, like again, like a Rise of Skywalker. I mean, they make a lot of money over time, but they get their big initial burst, like right away. Like most of the people that are going to go see it, they see it within the first 3 or 4 days. And it really makes the bulk of its money kind of right away.
But this is
whereas
different.
That's what I'm saying. This one's a little different because it may spread out over more weeks because people will just kind of see it on their own time when they get a chance to see it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, like I said, I want it to do well because number one, like I said, I liked it, but you know, I want them to keep making these movies and they can't all be Endgame. There has to be some that come in on the lower end of the spectrum too. And they still need to get the support to keep being made. So, I think if nothing else, if we ever had anything to say to convince you to go see it, it's not because it's a great movie. It's just that you want to keep seeing comic book movies. So go see it.
Right. Know? Well, it is a good movie. I think it's worth
it. But it is worth it.
It's definitely worth it to see it in the theater. The action sequences I thought were
very well done. Yeah.
And very well done and fairly original.
Yes.
Because you have Harley Quinn fighting in her gymnastic style and all the characters really fought kind of in that style. And I thought it was really good. Some of those flips and, you know, the way they landed them and the slow motion shots that they did, that, you know, bazooka glitter gun scene, whatever. Yeah. I thought that was
cool. Well, I thought
the colors, I kind of thought
the car chase scene with, you know, her on the roller skates on the back of the car was really cool. Cause I was thinking to myself, I remember doing that on my bike when I was a kid. And I got wrecked doing that. So
didn't
I can't imagine
that, like sledding.
I remember running right up onto the back of the bike and getting my leg caught in the wheel, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I can't imagine doing that with a car. But I think we were bumper gliding through the Star Market parking lot.
Yes.
And had a couple of mishaps too. So.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. But you know, then the scene again with
that
her,
Kodak booth there.
With her, yeah. Yeah. With, yeah. That was we're showing our age, kids. Most people listening don't even know what a Kodak booth is.
Never mind running into one.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okie dokie.
But yeah, but like the scene with the rollerblading fight scene was really well done. So yeah, the action was really good in this. It was fun.
Yeah.
So.
And I loved how they leaned into their like, when did she have time to change her shoes?
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
it was so good.
We were thinking it too, and they just said it, you know.
Yeah, she comes in. They did changes. They leaned into that.
Yeah.
She broke the fourth wall, talked to the people.
Yep.
You know, talked to you, the audience. It was a lot. Like I said, it was a lot of Batman 66 to this that I thought was it was fun. Really fun.
Yeah.
But it was a modern, very modern Batman 66. I mean, even like when they're going down the tube.
Right.
That's the one to me that was really Batman 66. I was like, oh boy. But the colors and everything too. I mean, the way, like I said, with that, you know, glitter cannon and.
When it was kind of.
The smokes that they used. It was all like, when we walked out of the theater, one of the things because like I said, I was sleeping for part of it, and I asked my wife, she goes, no, it's really good. She's like, it was a comic book. She said it was like watching a comic book.
Well,
that's from somebody that doesn't read comics a lot.
It was a little at odds with itself because it was taking place in Gotham. So, you know, it's kind of dreary, you know, a lot of those scenes, but yet she's so colorful. So it's kind of like I said, it was fighting with itself for whether it was going to be dark or bright and colorful, but you know, and then you know, there were several scenes that took place during the daytime, so that just lets you know that Gotham actually has a daytime.
Yeah, the sun does come up well, in Gotham. Yeah,
as well as a nighttime. It's not Alaska. It doesn't stay dark 24 hours a day. But
here's a spoiler. I had never wanted an egg sandwich more than after
No kidding,
I
right? Didn't that look great? That was so – I felt so bad that she didn't get to eat it.
Oh, that looked
it looks
so
I know. I was thinking
delicious.
The thing is like, oh, my God, that looks good.
On the way home, I was like – I said to my wife, I go, call the bar uptown, order me I got a black and blue cheeseburger with like as rare as possible. I mean, right. It was as close as I could get to an egg sandwich, and I forgot. I've picked up my food. We're on our way home, and I'd forgotten that one of the ads you can put on the burger
is
a fried egg.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I should have, because I got that the last time I had a burger up there. I was like, oh, but that's what made me buy the burger.
Yeah, it looked great.
I wanted that greasy sandwich. That was all. They shot that scene so well. That was a commercial, for God's sake. I was like, oh, that was so good. And then that motivated her the rest of the movie. Motivated me the rest of the movie. It was so good. But yeah, it's as far as like, but that was it. That's like I said, it was a kind of a shallow movie. The motivation was an egg sandwich. And but that's okay. Yeah. It was a fun, entertaining movie.
Yeah, it was.
So there's a lot of rumors, not rumors, that's a bad way to put it. There's a lot of talk that maybe this movie isn't doing so well because of Suicide Squad.
You're right.
I enjoyed Suicide Squad. Not the greatest movie of all time.
Exactly.
But it's not as fun as this movie. I would put this movie above Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I would
because
too.
It's just more fun.
I enjoyed Suicide Squad too, but I also can understand, I understand why people didn't like it. But yeah, this is definitely more fun. And I think if I had to choose between the two, this was a better, definitely
and I
a better
think,
movie.
Did you say it last week, like the Suicide Squad Hangover?
Well, that's what I was telling. We were talking about that earlier tonight. And
oh, okay.
I think that might have something to do with it. Because again, you and I both loved Solo, but most of the people point to The Last Jedi as the reason why Solo did badly. I don't know if I agree with that necessarily, but that's kind of what people think. And so that's why I kind of equated this to Suicide Squad, because, it's not the same in the sense that it's coming right on the heels of it, because Suicide Squad was a couple of years ago. But I think it's not different in, like, if you watch the trailer for it, it's not that different from Suicide Squad that, like, your everyday viewer would realize that they're completely different things.
Right.
Because the main character is the same in both of them.
Yeah, it's a sequel to it. They lean into it. They have the, what was that, boomerang on the wall?
Right.
When she's like, I know him. She's obviously was with Joker.
Was with the Joker, right.
So you have that whole, I mean, it is a sequel to that, but it's
own movie. Like, it's only, like I said, it's only a sequel kind of on the edges, you know what I mean? It's definitely related, but it went completely in its own, a completely different direction. But I think that a lot of people...
Is she slated for the next Suicide Squad?
Yes.
She is.
She is, but I think everybody else around her is going to be different. I don't know if Boomerang comes back. I think James Gunn has basically put a whole different team together.
I think there's a few coming back, but Will Smith isn't, but I know there are new people.
Yeah, there's a bunch of new cast.
Mostly new cast.
And we don't know for sure. They haven't really announced the full lineup of that, but...
Well, they've announced a ton of people.
Yeah, because they had that one infographic or something a few months
ago.
And
it's like, it's almost like who's not in this.
Right, it's a who's who of... Z-list DC characters.
Right.
But yeah, she's definitely coming back and will probably be the headline of that too. Maybe a little bit less than this one, because this really is a Harley Quinn movie. Like, you could say Birds of Prey
It always was.
Right.
That's the part that was always, because even when we were talking about it, a year ago, we were like, why is this called Birds of Prey?
Right. It's always been a Harley movie.
It's gonna be a Harley Quinn movie. Everybody knows it's the Harley Quinn story.
Right.
I think, like you said, like she wants to make another one. Margot Robbie wants to make another Harley Quinn. I think she can she may get the opportunity to make that. I don't know if they'll make a Birds of Prey movie. That may be the you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because I don't know if there's enough there to spin that off. And I'm wondering if that's what they tried to do here, where it's like, okay, we'll incorporate Birds of Prey with Harley Quinn to get that jump started. Then we'll have the Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy movie, and then we can have a Birds of Prey movie with maybe somebody popping in. And they were trying to franchise these things out.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going
to
work.
I don't know if they did enough with those other characters to justify them being in a movie without Harley Quinn.
Again. Right.
Now, I feel like going back to the fact that, you know, it's mostly men that go see these movies. If they lean into the Harley and Ivy relationship, that movie will make a ton of money. because all the guys will go see that. But
right.
So, yeah, maybe that gets a chance to get done. Who knows? But I think you're right. I don't think there's enough with the Birds of Prey to justify them. And the money that it made wouldn't justify it on its own anyways. Because
right.
Even with the $33 million this made, 70% of it's because of Harley Quinn. You know, maybe more. Oh, maybe like 90% of it.
90%. I mean, it's nothing against any of the other actresses.
No.
But there's nothing here that's going to make you go, you know, like, oh, wow, I got to go. It's not the actresses. It's not the characters. It's
no, it just
what
wasn't
they
intended.
Do with the
right, it just wasn't
there was
intended
no development
to be that.
There.
Right.
Yeah. You weren't drawn to any of them. It was, I mean, at the end of it, it was a good, you know, at the end of the story, she takes off on her own and you're kind of left like, oh, okay, well, they're on their own. And she...
Right, which I actually really liked. I liked that they didn't turn her into the hero. Like,
right.
At the end of the day, she's still of questionable character. You know, like, she has a little bit of a moral compass, but...
But
at the end of the day, she's hard. Because too many times, they try to turn Harley into the good guy. Because, you know, they think it sells the story better. I don't know. But I like how the cartoon on DC Universe really leans into her being a villain. This,
yes.
You know, you think at the end of this movie, she's gone straight, right? And she's going to become the hero in the Birds of Prey. And it doesn't end up that way. And I liked that they didn't end it
that way.
They
stayed true to the comic.
Right.
They stayed true to the character.
Because even in the comic these days, she's more hero than villain. You know, she's...
Well, in a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, kind of on the straight and narrow... In her main book, anyways. You know, the ones that they're doing that are Black Label and stuff, those are not in continuity, and they're all over the place, you know. In some, she's a good guy, some she's a bad guy, whatever, but...
Well, they're at different stages of her...
Right.
...career.
But in the, you know, in her kind of ongoing comic, you know, she's more the anti-hero and more kind of like the, you know, on the side of the good than anything.
I'll be honest with you.
They keep her, you know, kind of on the bad, you know...
Yeah.
She's a villain, and she's supposed to be, you know. Harley Quinn was never intended to be a role model for anybody. The fact that, you know, so many girls look at her that way.
Right.
Really is kind of, you know, we could get into that. It's a whole other subject, but.
She's a great Halloween costume.
Yeah.
And
she's that, but.
I mean.
But she's not a role model. And her relationship with the Joker is nothing to aspire to. you know? But.
No, and they kind of lean into that here.
Yeah, they did.
And they actually point out, like, one of her, like, at the beginning there, when the girls are talking about her at the table.
Right.
That she overhears.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I thought
she
was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, and it brought a sense of, like, kind of realism to it.
Right.
You know, where it's, like, that kind of person that would follow the Joker. And it's.
Well, I think even in that scene, it was a little eye opening for her, too.
Correct. Yeah.
So.
Which was cool because that's, I mean, she is a psychiatrist.
Right.
So.
Well, and that played out, again,
doctor.
Not to keep going to the DC universe, but it's all Harley. But, I mean, that played out recently in that show, too.
Yep. Yeah.
You know.
Well, and that's what I was just going to get to is, to be honest, I think that the DC universe, the animated series, actually has a better story.
It does.
The ongoing story in DC universe on that animated series is really good. It's episodic, but there's a thread going through
there. Yes.
And every episode is, it's an adult animated series.
It is, but you know, I like it more every week. Like We talked about it earlier.
You weren't strong on it at
the beginning.
I wasn't
super high on it for the first episode, even the second episode, but as this goes on, and honestly for me, it's her cast of characters around her that make the show for me.
Oh, it's fantastic.
She's fine, but it's Bane and it's Clayface and King Shark. Like, to me, they make the show. But that's a terrific show. Like, I really like it a lot. But yeah, it's got a deeper storyline than this movie.
Ivy is great.
Ivy is really good.
She's my favorite character.
Is she?
She's my favorite character on the show.
Bane is my favorite.
Yeah, but he's not in it as much as Ivy is.
Yeah. True.
And, you know, but he is great. And what little bit you get, you do want more.
Yeah. Which I think they're probably using him just right. But
Clayface and his acting, it's just, I'm an actor. He's just great. And what they've done with all of those characters in that show, it's just, it's Harley Quinn, it's over the top, but it's so well done.
Yeah. Not to go down that rabbit hole, but that episode where he Jim Gordon has his hand and Clayface is talking to his hand.
Oh my God.
My little buddy.
Yeah. it was such a good episode. And it's so funny because there was actually a conversation on Twitter a few days ago about it, and I jumped in, and I think it was Walking Ken, if I remember right,
yeah,
his Twitter handle, and he watches it, and I was like, oh, not a lot of people have DC Universe.
No, I don't think
so.
I don't think
a lot of people don't know
it.
What's out there, but it is. It is pretty good.
Yeah.
It is, again, and what's that? I don't know what DC Universe is now. It's like $7 a month, something like that.
Seven bucks a month, yeah.
A little bit more than CBS All Access, but yeah, Harley Quinn is it. But yeah, that's a better story. It's animated, but this movie, I thought it's entertaining. I recommend it.
Yeah, I do too. So did you stay for like the post credits, treat that they gave you there?
No.
Oh, no.
No. Did you?
Yeah. Yeah. There's really...
It was just
talking. There's no post-credit scene, but there's a voiceover. Like, she has a...
Yeah, what was it? I read about it, and I was just like, oh, I'd already known it before
Basically, she's going to spoil Batman's secret identity, and then it cuts off right when she's...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Bruce Wayne
is,
or Batman is, and then it goes silent.
Yeah, she says Batman F, and then it ends. I read about it before I even saw the movie.
But it has something to do with she's, I guess, going to spoil his identity and it ends. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it wasn't much, but.
It's not even worth staying for.
It's not, but.
It's not.
I knew that there was something there. Like, I had heard that there was no credit scene, but there was something at the end to wait for, so I just waited for it.
The first time I saw it, I was falling asleep and
wanted
to get out of there. And the second time, I wasn't feeling well and wanted to get out of there. So, and I had read about it before I even
went like
saw
you said, it was
movie.
Nothing substantial. It wasn't worth anything.
Right.
But
yeah, so if they had said it was a scene, I would have stuck around. But I actually read about it. They told me what I read said exactly what it was, and I was like, okay, I'm done.
I guess the only thing was that there was speculation that it was going to, how it was going to tie in going forward,
right,
to anything Batman related. What universe was this going to be part of? Because again, it's the Jared Leto Joker, basically, that she broke up with.
That can be changed.
But what Batman does she have now? Because Ben Affleck doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
So that's the question, is what were they going to tie this movie to?
Who knows if they tie it to anything?
Right.
Now.
It might not get tied to anything.
All right. Is that all we have?
I think so.
That was a good summarization. Pretty much spoiler free. Look at that, John.
Yeah, we didn't get into too much.
There's not too much. Like we said, there's not too much to get into. I mean, there's not much of substance, and that's not bad.
Some movies
can just be fun.
It's not a bad thing. It's definitely a fun movie, but like I said, it's not super deep.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I forgot to ask you. Have you gone and bought any merchandise yet?
Oh, since the last time we talked, no. I know I've had 3 whole days to do it, but I didn't get to it.
All right. Well, you can just go on TeePublic and search The Bright Side Chat, right?
I know it's super easy to go to teepublic.com and search The Bright Side Chat. There's a whole bunch of merchandise there that would support our podcast, but
look how good we are at promos. I know. Especially when they're our own.
Yeah.
That's all we have. It's like, go to Arkham Comics and Games.
Please.
Yes, please. That helps support the podcast too.
Yes. Or at least one of the artists involved.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now we're calling ourselves artists. I feel like that's pretentious.
Well, I have been for years.
Pretentious?
I actually paint every day. I actually paint every day.
Well, you do. So. Yep, you do. You're right.
So I paint bumpers, but
right.
All right. Hey, let us know what you bought for merchandise on Twitter at brightside_chat. Or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. You can check us out and a whole bunch of other podcasts at nerdylegion.com. And John, what do we like to do on iTunes?
We like to rate, review, and subscribe.
Look at that.
I'm involved.
We're getting good at this. I know. It's only been a year and a half. We're starting to intertwine our closings together. Jeez.
What will we think of next?
It's like we're one mind.
Oh, jeez.
One mind between us.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yes, exactly. All right, what do we got coming up next week?
All right, so we got this one's actually pretty exciting. We have Batman number 89 coming out. This is on fire already. It's pre-sold out in most places.
En fuego.
It's selling for right around $30 currently on eBay. This is the first appearance of Punchline. I don't know if you've seen this character at all. She is basically the new Harley Quinn, and she's taking the place. Or she's basically Joker's new girlfriend / sidekick / new Harley Quinn. So she makes her first cameo appearance in this issue, and then the week after in Justice League Hellrisen number 3 is her first full appearance. That one isn't sold out quite yet, but it's on its way. So I would definitely try to get your orders placed with your stores for these if they have any available. Like, my Batman 89s are already gone. You're probably going to have to order second prints, which have already been solicited. If you don't have your order in now, you may not get a first print on this. Definitely information we could have benefited from ahead of time, prior to FOT.
Yeah.
But we didn't find out about this. This news broke last week, and the orders were already finalized for these books. And like I said, they're on fire, so this character is definitely going to be one to watch, and these books are going to be, like I said, they're going to be in demand. So talk to your stores and see what you can do to get a copy. I wouldn't wait. I'd do that today. And then the next thing is Deceased Unkillables, issue number 1. That's part of the
love that title.
3-issue miniseries. Yeah, it's a oxymoron for sure. And then last but not least, we have Wolverine, issue number 1. So,
yeah.
Exciting week this week in new comics.
Yeah, Friendly Neighborhood's doing a Wolverine Midnight release.
Yeah.
So I may try to get down there. It depends on when my hockey game is. I may try to go down for that. So that would be, well, as this podcast airs, that would be tomorrow night,
right.
Tuesday night at midnight. So that'll be cool. So I got to find out when my game is.
Cool.
If it's early enough, I can get there right after the game. So, but all right. That's good.
Yep.
That's some big news for Batman, though. That should be fun.
Yeah.
That should be fun. Maybe we'll.
We actually
be
probably should
about that.
We probably should have broke that Batman 89 book on the Thursday show, because by today, they're gone. You're not going to be able to.
Yeah.
So,
did we have it when we did that show?
We did. We were just remiss.
Oh.
Shoot us.
Yeah. Oh well.
Well, him anyway. They're all closer to you.
Yeah, exactly. No, they're not.
You can take.
I was actually talking one of the. I was talking with somebody from Texas the other day.
Were you?
Yeah.
Texas is a big
one
place,
of our
though.
Listeners.
I don't know if you know, but Texas is large.
All right. Looks like we have some good stuff to be talking about on. Well, for Thursday's
definitely,
show.
Yes.
So. Definitely. Sounds good. All right. Have a great week.
Yep.
Check out that Batman stuff, and we will see you on Thursday.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.